Good morning and welcome to Worship Online at Alpha Dora Church for this Sunday, August the 14th. We are very glad that you are with us, and we hope that together we can worship God in spirit and in truth. In the spirit of reconciliation, we acknowledge that we live, work, and play on the traditional territories of the Blackfoot Confederacy, Siksika, Kainai, Piikani, the Tsuut'ina, the Stoney Nakoda Nations, the Métis Nation, Region 3, and all people who make their homes in the Treaty 7 region of Southern Alberta. We also reaffirm our pledge to stand for justice and our commitment that our church is a place where all people, regardless of race, culture, sexuality, or faith, are welcome. Together we hope that all can find the true love of God and authentic community. Our call to worship today. O God, you summon the day to dawn. You teach the morning to waken the earth. For you the valleys shall sing for joy. The trees of the field will clap their hands. For you the kings of earth shall bow. The poor and the persecuted shall shout for joy. Your love and mercy shall last forever. Fresh as the morning, sure as the sunrise. Great is your name. Great is your love. Let us pray. Still the clamor in our minds, open our ears and our hearts so that we may hear you, feel you, be touched by you. Speak this morning, O God, for we are listening. Amen. So our theme today, continuing with our series on creation calls, is about trees. And there are many scriptures we could be reading, but let us read together Psalm 92. It is good to praise the Lord and make music to your name, O Most High, proclaiming your love in the morning and your faithfulness at night, to the music of the ten-stringed lyre and the melody of the harp. For you make me glad by your deeds, Lord. I sing for joy at what your hands have done. How great are your works, Lord. How profound your thoughts. Senseless people do not know. Fools do not understand. That though the wicked spring up like grass and all evildoers flourish, they will be destroyed forever. But you, Lord, are forever exalted. For surely your enemies, Lord, surely your enemies will perish, and all evildoers will be scattered. You have exalted my horn like that of a wild ox. Fine oils have been poured on me. My eyes have seen the defeat of my adversaries. My ears have heard the rout of my wicked foes. The righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon. Planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green, proclaiming, "The Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no wickedness in him." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I want to take just a minute to thank all of you who continue to support the work of our church through your time and your tithes and your glad offerings. I just want to say just a short prayer for the offering. The willingness to give is a sign of life. The fruit tree gives of its fruit, and we know it's alive. When it no longer gives, we know real life has gone out of it. The heart that hoards the blessings of God is no longer alive with spiritual power, for to give is to live. Thank you, O God, that we are alive and that we can give to you a very small portion of all that you have blessed us with. And as we give, we know that it is in you that we have true and abundant life. And we know that you will take these gifts and multiply them for your kingdom here on earth and for all eternity. Amen. Let us continue in prayer together. Lord, you make a pink flower from a gray seed, an ear from a kernel, a carrot from a seed the size of a pinhead, an oak tree from an acorn. You have programmed your soil to provide food for your plants, wooden trees to make apples, feathered hens to lay eggs, grass-eating cows to give milk. And you, Grand Creator, you have us take care of your grand creation. In your mercy, Lord, send rain to water our crops and gardens. Let your sun shine on our fields so that the seeds will produce abundantly, so that vines and stalks and trees will hang heavy with fruit and grain. And Lord, let your grace be as rich to our cattle as it is to us. Let it keep our hogs free of disease and our hens laying eggs and our cows giving milk. May our animals be fertile. May our lambs and calves and pigs frolic in your green pastures so that even in their play, we may see your grace. We pray this morning for your farmers and for those who care for the orchards and the land and the ranches. Be with them, we pray, and thank you for the ways that they bless us. Help us to live our good earth and on your good earth, preserving and caring for the life and soil that you bless, ever thankful that our good you gave your laws and your law of love. Help us for our good and your glory to see those laws as you see them and as the psalmist saw them, as good and perfect, pleasant to think about. And Lord, teach us to share the abundance you have given us, never gloating in our excess, but always giving our first bushels to feed the hungry in your name. Enlighten our hearts, Lord, so that our thank yous will ever rise in a crescendo to your throne. See and hear us, we pray, through the blood of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Our second scripture this morning comes from John chapter 15, starting at verse 1, and I'm reading from the Message this morning. I am the real vine, and my Father is the farmer. He cuts off every branch of me that doesn't bear grapes, and every branch that is grape bearing he prunes back so it will bear even more. You are already pruned back by the message I've spoken. Live in me. Make your home in me, just as I do in you. In the same way that a branch cannot bear grapes by itself, but only by being joined to the vine, you can't bear fruit unless you are joined with me. I am the vine, you are the branches. When you're joined with me and I with you, the relationship is intimate and organic. The harvest is sure to be abundant. Separated, you can't produce a thing. Anyone who separates from me is dead wood, gathered up and thrown on the bonfire. But if you make yourselves at home with me, and my words are at home in you, you can be sure that whatever you ask will be listened to and acted upon. This is how my Father shows who he is, when you produce grapes, when you mature as my disciple. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So as I said, we're going to talk about trees today, in lots of different ways. When I was a little girl, I had a poster on the wall of our bedroom. And to this day, I can remember the poster, and I often remember the poem that says, I think that I shall never see a poem as lovely as a tree. A tree whose hungry mouth is pressed against the earth's sweet flowing breast. A tree that looks at God all day and lifts her leafy arms to pray. A tree that may in summer wear a nest of robins in her hair, upon whose bosom snow is lain, who intimately lives with rain. Poems are made by fools like me, but only God can make a tree. It was a lovely thing to constantly remind me to lift my arms in praise of God, to keep my eyes focused on God. I loved growing up with that poem on my bedroom wall. And creation does call to us through trees, doesn't it? Trees, as diverse and as different as can be. Every place you go in the world, there are different trees growing and different ways they are useful and different ways they show us God's love and grace and creation. Many of us have many memories about trees, don't we? I mean, I think some of you probably think of trees falling through the house when they were knocked over, or in the yard, or on your car, things like that. My memories are mostly to do with trees in the Okanagan where I grew up, the fruit trees. I remember as a child my sister and I climbing up into the cherry tree at my grandmother's house in Penticton and sitting up in the shade when it was so hot and just feasting on those cherries till we were sick. I remember the 5 prune plum trees in the mats that we lived in Vernon, B.C. And when they were green, they made really good baseballs. And when they were just ripe, we would eat and eat. And then usually some of them got really soft and starting to rot. They were a little bit more fun to throw at my siblings or friends. They made a big mess, and I'd often get in trouble. But memories of trees. I remember the first time I saw the great big trees in the Cathedral Forest on Vancouver Island. They were amazing. I would love to see the redwood trees. They're on my bucket list of one of the things I'd like to see someday. What is your favorite memory? Your favorite tree? What kind of trees do you love? How many can you name and why? The list goes on and on and on. Boys and girls, this morning, maybe you want to count how many kinds of trees will I mention in the next few minutes while I talk. I've already named 4. How many more will there be? What are some of the Bible stories that you remember about trees? Most people, the first thing they'll think of is the sycamore tree that Zacchaeus climbed in Luke 19. Trees are an important part of our life, aren't they? And once again, they remind us so much that God really knew what he was doing when he created the earth and everything in it. Trees can be used for so many things. For medicine, for shade, for oxygen, to prevent erosion, to cool temperatures and to create rain, to filter pollution, to provide food and fruit and shelter. So many things that trees can provide. There's a story about an old tree. It's an old proverb. The old tree. This is an old proverb about the leader of a city who would take daily walks to gain peace of mind and inspiration from nature. One day the burdens of his position had his mind more disturbed than normal, and the old man found himself walking much further than usual. Eventually he stopped to rest, and as he was regaining his strength, he spotted a great tree which easily towered above all the rest. The tree was a wonder to behold, and it lured the man to investigate it in more detail. The man continued to follow the path he was on until he finally stood underneath the great tree. Its branches spread so wide that the tree could easily have provided shade for more than 1,000 horses. As the man stood gazing up at the majesty of the tree, he wondered, "What kind of tree is this? Its timber must be quite extraordinary." His mind raced with thoughts of how he could impress the people of his village with the story of this tree and all the wealth it would bring the village by cutting it down. But as he continued to study the tree, he noticed that the branches were too gnarled and twisted to be of use for lumber. He took a closer look at the trunk of the tree, and he could see where it had been split and damaged many times in the past, thus making it worthless for lumber as well. The man exclaimed, "This wretched tree is completely useless. Why in the world did it ever grow so large?" In disgust, the man sat down under the tree and reflected on its worthlessness. As he sat there in the deep, cool shade of the mighty tree, a slow smile spread across his face. He thought, the tree grew to this mighty size because it is useless to those who would have cut it down. Its beauty and great shade would not have been if man had found the tree useful. Now, what seems useless to man is exactly the kind of thing that God puts to great use. The old gnarled tree became a great encouragement to the man, and from its inspiration, he found himself looking for godly value in people, not worldly value. As a result, his village was filled with peace and prospered. It's a good example, isn't it? So often we look at things through our eyes and not through God's eyes. And we tend to judge people and things according to their uselessness in our minds. And we forget how they're useful in God's mind. There are many large trees around the world. The Amazon River Valley is filled with them. But deforestation is happening there. And all around the world, we've all come to realize that trees are so important. And I'm so glad for the people that are reforesting, planting trees wherever they are. What are some of the trees in Scripture that you remember besides the sycamore tree? Well, there's the myrtle tree. Do you remember that one? In the Jewish traditions, the myrtle is one of the four sacred plants of Sukkot. In the Old Testament, it's mentioned. The Feast of the Tabernacles is Sukkot, right? Representing the different types of personality making up the community. The myrtle, having fragrance but not pleasant taste, represents those who have good deeds to their credit despite not having knowledge of the Torah study. The three branches are lashed together or braided together by the worshippers are a palm leaf, a willow bough, and a myrtle branch. And then a citron is held in the other hand as a wave of the lulav wave ritual during Sukkot, the Feast of Tabernacles. By the way, boys and girls, I just mentioned three kinds of trees in there. Did you catch them? Another tree would be the olive tree. It's so important in Scripture, isn't it? As early as the times of Noah, the Scripture mentions olive trees. What kind of branch did the dove bring back to Noah after the flood to let him know it was safe to go outside? It was an olive branch. Olive trees produce olives that give oil for lamps, that give holy oil for the rituals of the Old Testament, that give cooking oil, etc. Even today, it's still so precious. Some of the most expensive oil is olive oil, and it's so important in our society, isn't it? Judges 9, by the way, if you ever want to take the time to read it, has a very interesting parable about trees that I encourage you, turn to it this week and see if you can read it. There are, of course, the cedars of Lebanon, and maybe that parable about the old man and the tree might have been under one of those cedars of Lebanon. Again, it's on my bucket list. And when Solomon had the temple tabernacle built, beautiful temple, he brought in all kinds of marble and all kinds of things from all around the world, and he brought in the cedars of Lebanon to build the temple because they were so fragrant and beautiful. And then there's the fig tree. Fig trees are interesting. And like many other trees, they have to have more than one nearby in order to flower and produce fruit. Crabapple trees, when I was living in Edson, Alberta, when we were first married, we had to have at least two in order for them to cross-pollinate. The same as with fig trees down in Bolivia where we lived. We had two fig trees. I had never been around fig trees. One had green fruit and one had a smaller, more darker purple-black fruit. But they had to be able to cross-pollinate in order to use them. And I had to learn lots of recipes on how to use figs because it was not something I'd ever been a part of. We didn't have fig trees in the Okanagan. We had lots of fruit trees, but not those ones. And of course, seeds produce, or trees produce seeds. There's lots of scripture about seeds, about the mustard seed. I found out something interesting the other day. Did you know that Canada is the largest producer of mustard seed, and that last year's drought caused a severe shortage of mustard seed, and there might be shortage of mustard in the coming months? Interesting. Trees produce seeds, and trees remind us that we need to continue to plant the seeds of God's love in all we meet, in our family, in our friends, in our neighbors, and then we need to allow the Holy Spirit to water those seeds and to bring them to fruition in His time. Once again, throughout the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, trees are mentioned. God plants the trees in Genesis 1:11. Genesis 2 talks about the tree of life. And in Revelation 22, the very last chapter of the Bible, God redeems so much. He redeems the Garden of Eden. He redeems the trees, the tree of life, and the nations, and creation, and He redeems us again and again. And when we are redeemed, we will have full access to the tree of life eternally when Christ comes back again. Revelation 22 reminds us that the tree of life will bear 12 crops of fruit every month, and the leaves will heal the nations. How amazing will that be when we see the tree of life? And of course, when God redeems our lives and we live forgiven and we live in relationship with Him every day, we will be a part and have access to that wonderful tree of life. And of course, then, Jesus often talked about trees, didn't He? We read it earlier in the message in John 15, I am the true vine and My Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in Me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. Pruning in our lives hurt. It really does. And having grown up in the Okanagan, I know how important it was for the orchard farmers to prune the trees so that they would produce even more fruit again and again. Pruning is crucial to our growth. It is essential that we bear fruit in our lives, the fruit of the Spirit that grows in us. And the only way that is going to happen and we bear good fruit is by allowing God to help us and prune us and make us more and more like Him every day. There was a retired pastor who grew banana trees in his backyard. Not something we do in Canada, is it? But believe it or not, bananas will grow in the hot and humid southern Illinois summers where he lived. But the season isn't long enough for them to produce much fruit. And some people have tried to overcome this by starting their banana trees in a greenhouse earlier in the spring. But according to this pastor, and I know this to be true, banana leaves, in particular, have to be exposed to the wind and the elements of nature as they're growing. If they grow in a quiet greenhouse and they're then put outside, the big, beautiful leaves will be shredded by the first summer windstorm. Banana trees have to grow with all of the elements of nature around them. It's somewhat like us, isn't it? We are exposed and need to be exposed to troubles of all kinds, because God uses those troubles mixed with faith to strengthen us. We need to grow in our faith in the world exposed to all the elements of nature. Job said in chapter 23, but he knows the way that I take, and when he has tried me, I shall come out as gold. God knows the way we take, and he allows us to grow in all of the elements of nature, and he continues to grow us so that we will produce more and more fruit. When we lived in Bolivia, another thing we learned was about the vines and the branches that God talks about, or Jesus talks about. But did you know that grapevines have to suffer in order to produce good fruit? There has to be something that is challenging them so that they will produce better fruit. In Europe and in North America, quite often the orchard farmers will slice the vines with a knife, causing them some damage so that they will produce better fruit. In the high plains of Bolivia, it was enough just to grow there for it to make them suffer. Then, and they produced wonderful fruit and also wonderful wine. Like the banana tree and like the vines, suffering can actually be healthy for us at times. Suffering helps God to work in our lives and to prune us and to help us to trust him more and more, and thus we produce better fruit. When the Holy Spirit is working in our lives, we produce better fruit. When our roots are sunk deep, deep into the soil, and we drink from the living water that we've talked about, we produce better fruit. There are lots more things that we could say about trees, and I'm sure you have thought of some of them, and I hope and pray that you can share those with us all sometime. But I want to share one more story with you as we close. The story of the banyan tree. I just lost it here. The banyan tree has lots to teach us too. The banyan tree is native to India, but it can be found in other parts of the world, especially throughout Asia. It grows as a young tree, and then as it gets larger, the heavy limbs put forth roots which drop to the ground and to form a secondary trunk to support the large limbs. Step under an old banyan tree, and you are stepping in what looks like a mini forest. I don't know if you've ever done that, but it's amazing. They can grow, therefore, with all these secondary trunks, to an absolutely enormous size, and they have a very long lifespan. If you look, you can see all the secondary trunks supporting the older, heavy limbs. And you will probably see a large area under which a group of people can gather. And they often do that in many Asian communities to discuss issues and concerns, the concerns of a village. I think that the banyan tree can teach us so many things, because this is a good metaphor for the church. It's about the nature of the church, and it's a good example for all of us. A large host trunk, many long, large, heavy limbs extending in all directions throughout the earth, supporting trunks and root systems, and a huge shaded area where people can gather in community, find shelter from the storm, or rest from their labors. A place that is safe. A place where all are welcome and accepted as an important part of God's great creation, an important part of the church. If you take nothing else from our thoughts today, of which they've been all over the place, as they often are, trees have much to teach us. But the banyan tree is an example of what trees have to teach the church, Christ's bride. It's a wonderful, wonderful example, isn't it? I hope that this week, as you walk amongst the trees in your neighborhood or walk amongst the trees in the mountains or wherever you are, that you will stop and listen and hear God speaking to you, creation calling to you through the trees. Let's pray. Father God, speak to us, we pray. Help us to hear you through the trees. Help us to really praise you as the trees do. Thank you for the privilege of being an important part of creation, your creation. Help us to abide in you. We pray. Amen. So as we go from here, we go with this promise from God's word. You will go out with celebration and be brought back in peace. Even the mountains and the hills will burst into song before you. All the trees of the field will clap their hands. In the place of the thorn, beautiful cypress trees will go. In place of the nettle, the myrtle will grow. This will be to God's glory and an enduring reminder of God's faithfulness. So go in joy and peace to serve the Lord. And our triune God, Creator, Redeemer, Counselor, goes with each of us. Amen. By the way, boys and girls, I think I mentioned 17 different trees. Tell me how many you counted. Bye.